said, I'm going to send them to you. Well, they came Thursday in the mail, which was my dad's anniversary. And it's a beautiful card that she sent me, hoping that this will make you smile. And there were four pictures in it, three of which I have. But the one that was on the top was the best gift, because it's Paul, my dad, that brought me up. And I had never seen this picture. It's at the farm where I was born. That's the other kind of a, it's right in front, next to the, running up from the barn towards the house. And I'm on his shoulder. And the smile on his face really, you know, it showed the joy of the moment. And I haven't called my sister yet. I said, Lord, we got too many emotions right now. And so I said to the Lord, you know, what is it about watching his joy? Why? Because I could tell, you know, this was an answer to prayer for him. Caused a lot of irritation as we went forward together. Not through any choices of mine, but a lot of choices of his. Is this thing finally working? Okay. All right. So I said to the Lord, you know, the timing. Because it takes forever to get something from Canada. Almost 3 weeks. Okay. There's Gail. Glory to God. So Paul was not the type of person who, in serious moments, would converse freely. You know, his way of doing things was, to the best of his ability, of course. Serious moments were difficult for him. And so it almost had to be another, he would make jokes out of things, and that would be the easy way of communicating. But on that picture, there was no joke. There was no, it was just, I could see his excitement and his smile. It's just a small little picture. And so when Irene looked at it the next day, she, oh my goodness, does he look happy? I said, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I saw the happy moment. I finally have a son. Because he lost three. Okay, and there was one moment that he shared with me. The last child that died in her womb actually was along because he fit in a shoebox. And Paul said to me at one point in our conversation when I was older, he said, that was the most difficult thing I ever did in my life, was to go and get permission from the priest to go and put this in the family plot. He said, I never did anything so difficult. And he shared with me on that when he was in his 50s. And he said, you know, nobody comprehends when you lose, like, this is three times, you know, and how everything was removed. There was no hope for a future. Well, of course, when I came into the picture, that came in. And because I was his half-brother, there was blood. And that made a difference. He never talked about it, and I truthfully didn't either. It wasn't part of the deal here. But believe it or not, part of my notes that I made last week when the Lord was pushing my buttons about Father's Day and the different fathers that came into my life. And these two people imparted in me had retained or gained. And I just wanted to reiterate that a father will give his best, but his best is limited because he's coming from a broken situation. I'm 81. I'm looking at how much God has set me free of. And I can see the amount of brokenness that I walked in when I was bringing up my sons. I saw in fact, I teased my wife about this this weekend. I said, you know, when our first two boys were born, I said, life was extremely busy and almost no time to enjoy the moment, especially with Rick, because we had gone through the fire and lost everything. But when Gary came 2.5 years later, I can say that I enjoyed the moment multiplied from the first one many times over. But then when the two grandsons were brought forth, I had had more healing. I had had more awareness of where I was in Christ. The prophetic word that we would get these two sons didn't make sense when that happened. And logically, Holy Spirit was in my life and working on me. You know, and when he's working, you're aware more of the brokenness of your family members because you know how much God is doing in you. And my dad did have a relationship with the Lord, and that did make a major change. But my biological father was a whole different story. He was a broken vessel. And being broken was left in a very peculiar situation. He had 21 children. You got to think about this. And I'm the 21st. And not one would take him in at the end of his life. Not one. Paul and Amelia would have taken him in, but we were in a different country. So the headaches were impossible to surmount. And like I've talked to a different members of the family, and there was a couple of seasons where he was living with one of the older daughters, but that didn't work. And then another one of the younger daughters took him in for a while, but her situation got impossible. So he ended up, believe it or not, in the basement of a hospital, which was called a nursing home at the time. And I can remember visiting with him when my sons were, I would say, 5 and 7. And I think that's the only time that the boys got to see him and that I got to see him in that atmosphere. And it was a cellar atmosphere. That's all I can tell you. It just was not what I would have liked to see my biological father in. But I was not in charge. The ones that were in charge, I'm sure, did the best they could with whatever circumstances. But those pictures that you have in your mind, those photographs that come back, are part of what God has been working on me and working in me. And of course, that picture with my dad carrying me was so, let's say, earth-shattering, because I'd never seen him do that. I don't remember him doing that, because by the time that I got older, I was too big. You know, it's just what you do with little children. And I did that with my little ones constantly. And I did it even more with Christopher and Jimmy. I carried them on my shoulders. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times. And then when Gabriella was born, that was her favorite position. And we sang a song, you know, every time. It was, I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck. And she knew it by heart by the time she was two. And she would sing it with me, and we would go up and down the stairs. And the Holy Ghost. And he was releasing what was in him to all of us. And of course, I shared with you guys about Gino. But there were part-time fathers. I call them, who imparted so much and provided special love in times of trouble. Pastor Royal Cronquist was a very, let's say, precious man that God connected me to that probably should not have happened. Because those that were around him tried to keep us apart. And I was aware of that. But it took like 20 years for the whole thing to be turned. The one that actually was trying to keep us from communicating is the one that paid for my ordination. I mean, so you can see the transition. The ability at one point to say yes could not happen because there were control rooms, control tactics, and later that was totally changed. Wade Taylor was another gift. I got very close to Wade in the last year of his life. I didn't know it was going to be the last year of his life, but we had quite a few conversations because we had a mutual situation that nobody knew about, but he shared his heart, carried me in his heart. Pastor Jay, another piece of the puzzle. I mean, incredible man of God that in 97, when things were just, let's say, shattering everywhere, I remember saying to my wife, I'm leaving. I'm going to Pinecrest for 2 or 3 or 4 days. And I just need to get away. And of course, shared with him what my experience was with something that was working and the rejection that was actually being, let's say, pressured on me again. You know, anybody who's had rejection, you kind of make a promise to yourself, nobody's going to do this again to me. And those are vows. Those vows are promises that you made to yourself. They need to be broken because they're controlling you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Matthew 18. Again, recognizing. Once I listened to Pastor Jay, we sat together. He said, well, I'm going to pray on what you've just shared with me. I said, but you know, I says, I'm sure there's another side to the story. But I don't know what that is. But I'm giving you my version so that you can, yes, definitely do something to get me freed up. Okay, because that's what I want. I want freedom. Okay, I want to be free from this terrible, irritating thing that is so ugly. And he said, all right. And so the next morning, after breakfast, he comes over and he says, we need to talk. And I said, I'm ready. And so he opened up about what the Holy Spirit was pressing him to release to me, which was words that definitely needed some comfort and confirmation. And so it was, I don't remember the scripture right now. But to make a long story short, I'm driving home and I'm crying out for confirmation. Well, I get to Interstate 90 and you get to start. At that time, you get a ticket. I don't think I drove maybe 5 miles. And there's a parking area and the Lord said, pull over in the parking lot. So I pull over and he said, I want you to get out of the car and underneath the seat, there's a box of cassettes. So I pull out the box and it's see-through. And he said, I want you to look at the titles. So I opened up the little box and I had my eyes closed and I'm pushing on one to get to the third one. I hear that's the one. Pull out the cassette. I had never listened to them. I had bought them months before at a conference. And they sat there because I was busy doing other things. I put in the cassette, a lady from New York is teaching. I maybe did another 30 miles or so on the highway. And guess what comes out? The exact same words that Pastor Jay had given me, the exact same scripture. And now I'm bawling my eyes out trying to get home. I said, Lord, you could have let me listen to the cassette before. I would have had the solution, right? But that's not, he wanted to show me it was already prepared. I was sitting on it like an egg. Sitting on it for months. And there was the solution.
Did you see my list?
And again, you know, I think that's to make us see. He's got the solution to the irritations that we see in our country right now. He's got the solutions of the things that you can't figure out for your family right now. And you're probably sitting on it like an egg, you know, and it will hatch. And there will be truth that'll come out after the fact. Joe, are you listening? Thank you. You know, because I'm not saying this just for me. I'm saying it for some who are trying to hold on with all the energy and grace that you can muster to keep on going. And that's you, John. Yeah, I know. I saw your face this morning. Okay. So, many different people, many different men in my life. There was a lot of women, but we're not talking about Mother's Day. We're talking about Father's Day that were needed in me. And I'm truly grateful for Jack Coughlin, who was, you know, prepared to do for someone he very, well, he knew me, but there was never a very close relationship with Jack. But he was the type of man like my dad, would not open up, but carried in his heart. And I knew that, you know? And I would say there's a lot of other pieces to the puzzle that came. And all those things that happen are not always understood at the time or at the moment that you're experiencing it, because maybe you're not quite ready to handle it yet. And that's the important reality. When you are capable of handling it, the Lord will provide it. But trusting him to go forward until that happens is not always comfortable. So if you would put your hand over your heart, please. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father.
Our Heavenly Father.
Is not always understood.
Is not always understood.
Because of our brokenness.
Because of our brokenness.
And our natural fathers.
And our natural fathers.
We're also broken.
We're also broken.
And we need to put that into the equation.
And we need to put that into the equation.
There were joyful moments we may not remember. Because we were too young. But there might be a photograph of something awesome that happened between my father and me. And I want to keep that as a token of your ability as our Heavenly Father to download into each of us the healing that's needed between a child and his father.
Between a child and his father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keeping that open.
Keeping that open.
Recognizing that you, Lord Jesus.
Recognizing that you, Lord Jesus.
Knew your Heavenly Father. And you had a relationship that was so tight.
You had a relationship that was
that
so
you would choose to give up your body.
You would choose to give up your
pay for my liberty. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the part-time fathers. Those who imparted things to me. They imparted love when I needed it. They imparted understanding when I needed it. And I thank you now. There were more on the way because I'm not done healing yet. Keep me focused on my Heavenly Father.
On my Heavenly
Father. That will provide
the
prizes I need down the road of life.
Down the road of life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
I want to kind of say that God is kind of cute. Sammy and I went to that conference with Joan and Robert with the Courts of Heaven, the whole package. It was very good. I won't go into the details, but I had said to the Lord, because I heard I needed to go. And we had quality time, Sammy and I, which was really cool. And
I'll just come back a little earlier tonight.
There was a 10 o'clock session, which was very well done. We enjoyed it. And then we went back for two for the afternoon session. And the Joan Hunter, her parents, let's say we grew from both Irene and I because of their books that, you know, we studied from. And we went to see them a few times. And then the highlight of our experience with the Hunters is we went to a conference at PTL and they asked Irene and I to be their assistant after the service, if that makes any sense. And so they had a televised camp meeting on TV. And after that, the Hunters asked Irene and I, because we happened to be sitting there, and they said, would you come and help us? We're going to be praying near the amphitheater and we need some assistance. And so would you go? And we did, which was for me at the time, you know, I was very excited about that. It was pretty sweet. And watching what the daughter has been through and her sharing was very special. But she has a spiritual daughter from Chicago and a very tiny lady told us that she gets a lot of visions and a lot of dreams, and words of knowledge is her gift. So she was allowed to minister to us, and she got maybe 3 to 5 minutes into her presentation. And she says, I want to know. She says, I heard in my spirit that I'm supposed to give a word to whoever is here that's named Kim. So how many of you are named Kim? Well, I got my name tag, so I can't deny. So I put my hand up, and there was one other person on the other side, which I could not see who it was. So she gave the word of knowledge to the person, and then she gave me a piece of puzzle. And I just don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm just going to give it to the Lord. And I said, you'll confirm yourself. And of course, Sammy was pretty excited, you know. And it's showing you God can know your name and push you out there when you least expect it. And so again, to God be the glory. What I'm saying is, why two? I don't know. Why me? I still don't know. The word, I wrote it down. But again, watching how the Holy Spirit takes us from one level to another, he never gives up on us. And yesterday we went to the graduation, and this father and mother have divorced. And this is their granddaughter that was graduating. And we've been part of that family for years. Her older brother, Irene, took care of for almost 2.5 years when he was a very tiny baby. And so we've been close to the family. And every time they had a little bit of a celebration, which this was a good sized celebration, this young lady graduated from Anna Maria College from Worcester, I believe it is. No, it's in Massachusetts, Fitchburg, maybe. Anyway, the part that where it's from, she's graduating, and in legal stuff. So she's got 2 degrees and now going for a higher level. Where? Paxson. Okay. So, you know, I'm watching this father. And because of the broken relationship, I'm watching the grandmother. She's doing her best to survive the pressure tactics that are involved. And when I got home, I said, Lord, it would have been nice to be able to say to this man, you know, can we pray for you? But the Lord said it wouldn't be received. It wasn't the time, it wasn't the place, it wasn't the moment. And so, but I know that the family needs prayer because again, I can see the brokenness. I can see the division because I lived it in my own life. So fathers are not always, let's say, comfortable with their children or in this case, the grandchildren. But I can tell you that he has done one thing well. He supported them all the time. And I'm sure, again, God is doing what he can with the limitations that this man has. And I'm trying to make us all see that we're going to be used as father figures, the men, in places and times that we may not perceive at the moment because we're not ready to give it out. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have his hand on you, that he doesn't have his abilities to release from you to others what he's prepared. Because again, the ways of the Lord are so different than the natural man. And we need to keep that in mind. We have a tendency to, let's say, want all our little ones to be perfected and let it be yesterday. But it doesn't happen that way. There's a timing involved. And God will allow, I believe, pieces to the puzzle that will manifest when you least expect it. And he will manifest the grace you need to carry you to the finish line. Because that's what he wants. He wants to carry us to the finish line. Just like my dad carried me in that photograph. I didn't see it. I didn't know it. Somebody made a picture of it, which I'm grateful for. How does that relate to what he's planning to do tomorrow? I don't know. All I know is the one who began the good work is going to complete it. And he won't fall short on any of us. Recognizing again his ability to hold us, to heal us, to recreate the areas that have been broken in us is all part of the future for us. I also wanted to say Joan Hunter pointed out, the war games in this area have been unbelievable for them when they got here, confirming the same word that we heard when Susan and Patrick came. And she reiterated, please pray for us because it's very difficult, having a very difficult time. They're coming back in August, and they're going to do what the Lord has commissioned them to do. And only the Lord knows the next level. But recognizing, I was not happy about their test, not happy about what, you know, they went through. And but they were aware. They were aware of the war. And she pointed out, even their worship leader landed in a hospital, all kinds of other things that, you know, they didn't expect happen. So again, we're in the middle of a test. We're going to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when we cross over, I had shared with you guys about my experience when I left the hospital in Palmer. Oh, by the way, my copays for Palmer, the two times that I was there, $240 my copay, which is considering now a total of $340 that I've had to pay out, but the numbers are like unbelievable. So only God could do this. So I mailed out the check this week. So again, thanking him for whatever he's had me on this journey for. At the moment, I still don't have too many, let's say, forecasts of the future of what he's up to. But again, I do believe there's no accidents, and trusting. It's not comfy. It's not comfy, but it's doable. It's doable. Watching this family yesterday and the brokenness, I just, the grandmother sat next to me, and I could just sense inside the war, you know. And I said to the Lord, we've known these people since, you know, this little one, who is now, by the way, a police officer in Palmer, which is kind of cool. And the ways of the Holy Spirit, putting him into a different place and taking care of him. And they're all grown up, but, you know, the brokenness is still there. That's what I saw. And the young lady who graduated, both my wife and I noticed that the father is not a part of her life at all, which is, again, Father's Day, graduation from college, no father. So, you know, it's not because you want to identify it, as you can see. And it was a very difficult marriage. We went to the wedding, etc., but again, it didn't work because, again, a broken person and deceiving forces having a party. So there's another beautiful child with no father, and it's hard. So that's, I believe, is what I sense that our Heavenly Father is trying to take his position. And when we begin to have that relationship with him, you're going to cry out, Abba, have your way. You know, take me to the place where I need to go in order to get the healing that's needed so that I will be able to function in the ways that I was designed to function. When you're in a broken space, you're not going to be able to function in a normal way. You're going to function from a broken situation. That's another piece to the puzzle where, you know, He knows about how much brokenness there is in each of us. And I do believe he puts that into the equation because he's a loving father. Just like you're not going to expect a 7-year-old to do what a 20-year-old is going to do. And it's going to be very different, you know. So keeping that in mind, the Father in heaven knows exactly where the pieces of the puzzle will come in. And be grateful for what you have. That includes you, Gail. So I don't know who's next here.